This episode contains graphic details of murder and other crimes. Listener discretion is advised. Everyone, and welcome back to Not Always Polite. I hope you guys had a great week. I missed you guys last week, but I was starting a new job and the computer that I have had been using to like research and record our episodes was my work computer. I don't have like a personal laptop, so I literally couldn't record an episode last week. So yeah, I started my new job, got my new computer. We're up and running. We're back in business, baby. And today I have a disappearance that we're going to talk about that is potentially linked to a second disappearance, but we'll get into that. So I hope you guys are excited for an episode. I have missed you. And yeah, I guess I'll just get right on into it. So it was a rainy day in August 1972. 14-year-old Ingrid Bauer and her family had been staying at their cottage in Thornbury, Ontario for 2 weeks. According to a documentary by Stories of the Untold called Evil on the Road, the rain had ruined their trip, so Ingrid and her father decided to head home to their house in Kleinburg. Kleinburg is now classified as, quote, an unincorporated village of the city of Vaughan, so it's in York region, which is like kind of the GTA, I think. Anyways, Vaughan is where Canada's Wonderland is, for those that are wondering. Her mother and brother Kevin stayed at the cottage, while Ingrid's brother Brent had stayed home. He didn't go on the trip at all with the rest of the family. So Ingrid was itching to see her boyfriend. He was 14-year-old Larry Teeple. They had been apart for 2 weeks, and being 14, that would feel like a lifetime. So her father, Oscar, gave her permission to hitchhike to Larry's home in Pine Grove. His house was less than 5 miles away from the Bauer residence on Pennon Road. Ingrid had hitchhiked rides to Larry's home before, but never at night. Now, I read a blog post, and the author of the blog was like, hitchhiking was always stupid, but in 1974, it was definitely like common practice. I like to think it was a different time, but obviously like so many people got kidnapped while hitchhiking. But regardless, she was on her way. Around 9:40 p.m., Ingrid left and she was wearing a sweater with red apples and bell-bottom pants. She told her father that she would be back around 10:30 and walked out into the night. Her brother Brent saw her shortly after she left home. He ran out to grab a pack of cigarettes and some milk for his cereal, and he saw Ingrid standing on Eglinton Avenue, about 600 feet from their family home, waiting for a ride to drive her south. So by the sounds of that, her brother was going the other way, but I'm not positive on that. Another witness named Terry Bell, who was 18 at the time, later told police he saw Ingrid walking south on the west side of Islington Avenue at 9:45 p.m., so 5 minutes after she left her parents' house. This is the last confirmed sighting of Ingrid. One of Ingrid's friends called the Bauer residence asking for her. Her father told her that she was visiting Larry. The friend called Larry, but he said Ingrid never arrived. Larry then called Ingrid's parents. Oscar asked Larry to ride his bike towards the Bauer home to look for her, but Larry didn't see her. Oscar then got into his vehicle and drove toward the Teeple residence, searching for her as well, but came up with nothing. He then returned home to call the police. Friends and family members searched the ditches on the routes that she usually traveled to Larry's house, thinking that she could have been hit by a vehicle and was injured. At 12:28 a.m. on August 17, 1972, Ingrid was listed missing on the provincial-wide police telex network. The York Regional Police broadcasted her description on the police radio every hour, 24 hours a day, for 3 weeks. Also, sorry for the background noise. Apparently, my complex is popping off tonight. It's really nice here in Ontario today, so I have the windows open, but apparently everyone's popping off. Anyways, According to the police, quote, several Kleinburg residents reported hearing cries of a young person near Islington Avenue and Savella Drive around 10 p.m. that night. Residents also told police that they had seen a pickup truck in the area, but a search of the location left investigators empty-handed. An extensive air, ground, and water search produced no clues to her whereabouts. A $3,000 reward was offered, and the police received about 500 inquiries shortly after, but nothing substantial was, like, they didn't find anything from that. Investigators interviewed hundreds of witnesses and prison inmates, but that led nowhere. Ingrid's parents didn't believe that she ran away. It didn't really say the police thought that she ran away, but based on that statement, I assume that was something that the police assumed. That's pretty common that they assume a young girl ran away. She had left all of her personal belongings behind and planned to be gone only a short time. Ingrid's mother, Gisela, I think I'm pronouncing that wrong, G-I-S-E-L-A, Gisela, said that Ingrid's maternal grandmother had recently passed away, so her mom, and Ingrid went out of her way to not upset her mother. A few months later, in November 1972, Oscar, who worked as a purchasing agent for the Canadian Kodak, contacted Claude Neon Advertising Company in Toronto to rent space for a poster offering a reward for information on his daughter. McConnell Advertising of Toronto designed the posters at no cost, while a Toronto lithographing company printed them for free. The Claude Neon firm donated space on over 40 billboards across Canada. The family also posted flyers all over the area, specifically in shopping malls or places where young people gathered. Around mid-December 1972, police investigated an unconfirmed sighting of Ingrid close to when she disappeared. On August 19, 1972, two women were seen in a St. John's, Newfoundland shopping center, speaking with a girl fitting Ingrid's description. Police urged the women to come forward in a public appeal, but that did not result in anything. Over the years, there have been 44 reported sightings of Ingrid across Canada and the U.S. Police have investigated each one, but they have not found Ingrid. Ingrid's parents never gave up looking for their daughter. Her father felt guilty until his death in 2016 because he gave Ingrid permission to go that night, and he didn't drive her to Larry's house. A few months before his passing, he had her declared legally dead. 2 years after Ingrid vanished, 7-year-old Cheryl Ann Hansen disappeared under very similar circumstances. On May 31st, 1974, Cheryl left her home in Aurora, Ontario at 6:30 p.m. for a 10-minute walk to a cousin's house on Bloomington Side Road. It's the same road that her family lived on. Cheryl packed an overnight bag and planned on staying the night. Her mother, Patricia, initially told her that she couldn't go, but ultimately gave in and let her go. Patricia had a bad feeling when her daughter left home and called the cousin's house to see if Cheryl had arrived, which she had not. Patricia thought she had been hurt and ran towards the relative's house, but she didn't find Cheryl. She remains missing to this day. Police investigating Ingrid's disappearance did notice the similarities between the two cases, but it's unclear that they ever made a connection. So, here are my thoughts. So there was that boy that saw her walking down the road. Why didn't he pick her up? Maybe she didn't ask him for a ride, or maybe he was like in a hurry and couldn't stop. I guess I'm not like trying to say he did it or anything. He was pretty young at the time, only 18, but I hope the police investigated her or him, sorry, thoroughly. Also, why the fuck didn't her brother drive her? Like, if he was going out anyways, he literally like drove right by her. I believe he was going the other way. I think he was going north and she was going trying to go south. But I think he probably could have gone 5 miles out of his way for his sister, you know? It's just a little sus. I don't think he did anything, but it's just a little weird. So, a widely accepted theory is that she accepted a ride from the wrong person who lived in the area. The residents who heard cries near Islington Avenue and Savella Drive potentially could have heard the moment that she realized she was in trouble and being abducted. Larry said in 2017 that he believed her abduction was not random, but he did not elaborate. So I'd love to know more about what he thinks happened. It sounds like he has a theory. Anyone with information about Ingrid can contact the York Regional Police Cold Case Unit at 1-866-876-5423 extension 7865, or you can email the investigators directly. You can also submit a tip to Crime Stoppers anonymously at 1-800-222-8477. They also have a website, and there are text numbers that you can text as well. But that is all I have for you guys this week. Thank you guys so much for listening. Oh, and happy 2 years. Oh my gosh. So beginning of October, I totally missed it on the other episode before Thanksgiving. But it was on October 1st was the 2 year anniversary of Not Always Polite. So thank you so much for everyone who's listened. We hit 30,000 total plays, which is so exciting. I legit wouldn't be doing this if you guys weren't listening. So thank you so much to everyone who listens every week. I genuinely appreciate it so much. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Not Always Polite and leave me a review wherever you're listening. It would mean the world to me. Thanks, guys. Bye.